to go back in time because they are opening the archives to look at old shows, old movies, old pop culture things to see if they stand the test of time. This is Rewind with your hosts, Brian Austin Green and Pete Ferrero.
Right, here we are.
Here we are.
Episode one.
This is a brand new show we're bringing to you. And the concept of this show is that we go back and we watch TV shows and films that either one of us loved, have never seen, and we talk about them, and we sort of bring people up to date on them, and we bring ourselves up to date on them, and we see if they withstand the test of time.
Dude, and what
and
I
there's
love...
There's so much.
There's so much stuff that I have never seen where I'm like, holy shit, how I've never seen
this. And this is a reason. This sucks you into doing it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of this whole thing, we'll be going on the Moviac app.
Yes.
Which you can download at the Apple Store or the Android Store. And you can create a profile and you can go see our profiles and you can see what it is we've seen. We'll be rating it. We'll be reviewing it. And we'll be opening up forums to talk about it.
And so. The exciting thing is every week we're at a bar.
We're getting beers.
Yeah, we're cheers.
I love that little tiny one. Yeah. And I've got the Hobbit size one.
But right now we're at
Numero Uno Tavern.
Yeah.
Good for what ails you. I love that. We want to thank Rich who's allowing us to sit here and do this.
And they have so many craft beers. The pizzas are incredible. The food is awesome. So, like, come out here.
Numero Uno Tavern. Please,
this is just the start of, like, an amazing ride with this thing. We're going to do in-person ones. We're going to do live versions. We want to hear your opinions on all this stuff. So, why don't we just jump right into the first one.
So, the first one we're going to do, because it's the holiday season, and I know this has been one of those, like, age-old questions, honestly, is this a Christmas movie or is it not? We're going Die Hard.
Welcome to the party, pal.
I've been watching it for the past few days, few nights.
Pete had never seen Die Hard.
Oh, dude, I cannot believe you never saw Die Hard. I've seen
all the clips.
Okay, you've seen all the clips.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Right, okay, so you've seen all the famous parts of it.
But I don't know what the context of any of that is.
Dude, and that was Alan Rickman who was Snape in all of the Harry Potter films.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This was his big start. Like this was his big film.
Let's go to this movie. Okay. Let's start on the debate. Is it a Christmas movie?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. It depends on what your definition of a Christmas movie is. Is your definition a film that the main story, the plot of it is Christmas? Because then we get into the debate of like, is Elf a Christmas movie? Because it's about elves that make Christmas things.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily about Christmas. It's about an elf traveling back to the city to find his dad and all of that.
Right.
So Die Hard takes place during Christmas.
Totally. Christmas party.
It's a Christmas party.
Yeah. Christmas party.
Yes. At Nakatomi Plaza.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Yes. It was Bruce's first big foray into film from Moonlighting.
Which I've also never have seen. A single episode.
Okay, so that we're going to have to get into
have
Moonlighting.
Have you seen a single episode of Moonlighting?
I have. I used to watch Moonlighting all the time because he and Sybil Shepherd were
and
amazing
love
in that.
Her.
They were fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a few things about this movie that initially when I was looking, I was like, does this hold up? Like when you first get into the movie, some of the old school computers, like if you showed that to a young kid today, they'd be like, why are they fucking green?
Right.
Like what is MS-DOS?
Wait, why is there a cord on that cell phone that's in the back of a limo? Like who?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see limos anymore.
Right.
They're like, with the divider and the whole thing, like that doesn't exist anymore.
You have
town cars and things like that. Yeah. And you don't, and the guy's like, you know, it's got DVD and it's got, it's got a CD player in
all
it.
That.
It's got, yeah, it's got
but like
a tube TV.
Are like fucking computer screens are green. You know, remember that old school before like
they're,
the old computer, DOS.
DOS, whatever. Yeah.
So it's DOS computers.
Yeah.
And they're able to do all this, like the fucking bad guys come in and take over this building.
Yeah.
Right?
Easily. There's literally no firewall to it. They just jump right into the system because
and
DOS is universal.
But they're shutting shit off in a way where you're like, right now you'd be like, hey Google, can you turn off my, or hey Amazon, or whatever.
DOS is universal at that point.
Yeah.
Like that's, you could have a guy faking being this the head security in a building.
Totally.
Sit behind the thing, get into every camera that is there, lock down every door, roll all the security gates down, do all the stuff.
But I feel like this is somewhere where people will be like a young person, if they were watching it, they might be like, I don't understand why they're doing any of that. They just cut the phone lines.
Right. Like, which is why we don't like young people, right? I mean, isn't that I think we should start by clearly saying we don't like young people.
We don't like young people. We don't like their thoughts about anything. We don't want them to have
we don't
any
like
input.
We don't like young people. We don't like old people, and we don't like pets. So, you know, I don't know. Does that make us the enemy?
It might. All right. So I think, couldn't you argue that Home Alone is as much as an action movie as...
Absolutely, you could.
Two bad guys come in, and they're going to essentially rob
Kevin
McCall.
He's locking down the house. Right. It has nothing to... The whole thing ends on Christmas.
Sure.
It's like it's Christmas morning. Sure. Great.
But the idea that there's an action sequence of two bad guys and this little kid, like, taking them to town, isn't it sort of... Okay, I know there's three...
That was my point.
There's three murders in Die Hard. Like in 30 minutes.
No, I think there's more than...
Right out the gate, though. People are being killed.
Oh,
yeah. Being shot, you know. Yeah. So that's a little different than Home Alone. Yeah. So maybe this is an adult Christmas movie.
It's an adult... Yeah, it's a weird genre. It's a holiday action thriller.
But the more I start thinking about it, all of the Christmas movies that we view as Christmas movies have some sort of action sequence. Even Christmas Vacation... has a whole debacle with the squirrel. I mean, again,
the Grinch.
Robbing the guy, taking the guy out of his house, kidnapping him, Cousin Eddie kidnaps him, the police come in at the end of the movie, and there's a whole...
Right, for sure.
So it's like...
Yeah, what is your definition of a Christmas movie? Like, is it one that only the plot is about Christmas? Or is it the it happens to happen during Christmas. Like,
there's crazy shit that's going down during Christmas.
Right.
And, like, it's totally plausible that there would be a Christmas party. You've gone to many of those.
Oh, my God. Yeah, for sure.
Right? And it's like, there's a big Christmas party, and somebody does this at this company party. And that there is a hero cop at the party that happens to be going through, it feels like it's a divorce, right? Like, it's like...
He's going through a divorce. He's got a child. He's got, like, the whole thing. So he goes to her office. Her office now, her name is her maiden name and not his, you know.
Now, when I saw that, I was immediately infuriated. I don't even know why I took it personally, but I was like...
Why?
Why would she do this to him on Christmas? I mean, I'm sure she did it a couple of months
ago. Gennaro, I would assume she was using for the majority of time that she was at that job, because... So the story is, he was a New York cop.
Right.
He stayed in New York.
Yeah.
She was in Los Angeles for her job. You know, she had a higher up position at her place. So that I think the separation then happened at that point.
Yeah.
So when she started the new job in Los Angeles, she was using Gennaro instead of McClane.
Yeah, but he just finds out about this when he gets to town.
Of course he does.
You wouldn't
because
be
it's
like
his first time ever coming to town.
You wouldn't be like, this is... new information.
When you walk in and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I need Mrs. McClane's, and it's like, it's under Gennaro and the whole thing.
Right.
It's,
and you're like, fuck that. Like, I mean, I that's what my feeling was. How can you do this to Bruce Willis? How can you do this to John McClane right before the holidays? I mean, I'm sure it happened, but he's just...
He got her a big teddy bear and everything.
Right. He came in like...
He came in guns blazing. Yeah,
day.
Yeah. Oh,
he
wasn't there
romantic
to like
hero.
fight bad guys in a tower. No. He was there to save his marriage.
Okay, but that suddenly happens, right? And there's so much that happens in the beginning of the movie where you're like, holy shit, like, is Bruce... First off, this movie is amazing, by the way.
It's so good.
It's so well directed.
It's so understandable why that movie created a movie star.
Totally. Because
Bruce
was
fantastic. Like, I, as an actor, you know, when you're on a set and you're making a film and you're making it all out of order and you're trying to, like, keep the intensity and the stuff there, I was watching that and I was like, man, knowing how out of order that must have been shot, he did such a good job of that story being consistent all the way through. In the scenes with him and Reginald when he was talking to... You know, hey pal, what's going on down there? But you know, and he's keeping that level of intensity going all the way through it. And
totally,
believably.
And he's basically acting by himself.
I know.
You know what I
mean? The majority of the film. He only had a couple scenes with people.
Right, it's all kind of him. And then the other times he's just killing people, like action sequences.
He had a couple fight, and they had like big, like highly choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah. And he's, okay, so.
They were not simple. They're all like rolling carts, and there's, you know, they're throwing people into barrels and all sorts of stuff.
You're an actor from a television show, and in this era.
Yeah.
It was a, like, I don't think people, maybe younger people or people understand, like, it was a leap for you to be, like, for Bruce Willis to be in Die Hard.
I don't know what the budget was in that film. I can only assume that it was a pretty good-sized budget because they took over that building.
Oh, totally.
Which is, by the way, that building is, it's right off of the Fox lot.
Yeah, like you could totally
gate
go
one
see it.
Goes through, or gate three goes through the back of that parking complex. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all right there.
But you've made that leap from TV to movies, right? I mean,
not on the scale that Bruce did.
I know, but in that era, that was a huge thing for Bruce Willis to do.
Huge, but he was so. And we'll get into Moonlighting, of course, more as we make that an episode.
Yeah.
He was so charismatic, and he was so in control of who he was and what he portrayed on camera.
Mm.
Like you watch the show and then you watch the movie and you go, that is the most natural leap ever.
Sure.
Because he was that guy on the show, which is what made Moonlighting such a good show. He was, you watched him and you were like, this guy, I love watching this guy.
Totally.
He's engaging, he's charming, he's good looking.
Yeah.
He was in amazing shape. Dude, he was in amazing shape when he did Die Hard. Like, he was in a tank, he was in a wife beater for half of that film, and then he was shirtless for half of it. And he's just like, he was shredded and he was all greased up.
Yeah.
And so, you know. Like, he was covering all the bases.
Does this really cool thing, too, where, like, so much of what we're listening to is, like, his inner monologue of, like...
And he's playful and fun.
Yeah, like...
He doesn't take himself super seriously, like,
at all. Like, he's like, you know, he's constantly saying things that...
Suck this one, pal! He's, like, throwing the chair down the elevator shaft to explode and all that,
I didn't realize how much of our, like, wording, or, like, our the things that we say, like, in our culture... comes from this movie.
Oh yeah.
Like there's even a moment when Bruce Willis is like he's going to throw a bomb down
the elevator
shaft. Yeah. And he's like, "Fuck it."
Fuck it.
And I'm like, I say fuck it all the time.
All the time.
And I'm like, did that come from Bruce Willis?
I don't think it came from it, but there
like, it triggered probably people starting to say that again because that movie was so successful in that time period.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the phone with someone the other day who was like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And I'm like,
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Like, and then you watched the movie and you were like, okay, now I want to start saying yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I kind of want to say it all
the
time.
And this movie's like 30 years old.
Even if it's not relevant to a moment, like if I'm eating pizza, I want to just be like, oh, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Like, but what I didn't understand is like it's a reference to... Roy Rogers.
Meanwhile, Pete has literally been saying yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, all morning to everyone. He gets a beer and he's like, oh, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Like, it's thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a Roy Rogers reference, which I don't know that I was aware of.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, I watched also, which was really helpful.
Wait, but Roy Rogers didn't say motherfucker.
No,
he just said
the writer added that. Or Bruce Willis added the motherfucker to it. Yeah.
Right.
But like they're talking about the show Roy Rogers or the is that a show?
No, he was an actor. Okay. Roy Rogers. I've
clearly never seen
one
episode.
You're the perfect guy to have on this show.
I've never seen one episode of Roy Rogers. No.
Okay.
But what is that show?
He did a bunch of things. He was a movie guy.
Howdy
also.
Is that something else? Howdy Doody Time? Is that something else?
That was something.
Whatever the Roy Rogers show is. From what I understand,
I would like to apologize formally
to the whole family, the Roy Rogers family.
Right,
but they're talking about
Roy Rogers estate. I would like to personally apologize.
They're
for
talking
me.
About Roy Rogers, and that's why he says yippee-ki-yay.
Yes,
and I think it's from what I saw in the movies that made us Die Hard.
Did you watch that show?
I watched
Netflix.
It's so good.
It's so good.
But initially in the script, it was yippee-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then Bruce changed it to yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Okay.
Kaye works so much better than
yaye. So much better. Yeah.
Maybe it's just because we've heard of that.
Right. If you've only heard Yippee-Yay-Yay, then you'd be like, Kaye, it's not Kaye, it's
all right, so in the movie, shit starts to really go off the hook, right? Like, the bad guys have now taken over. But, so, he is so badass, and he is literally now, it's him versus, what, 9 to 10 bad guys?
I think it started as, like, 13.
Yeah.
And because then the Reginald, when he's down with... with the guy who was the principal in The Breakfast Club. We talked about that before. He says, thanks to this guy, instead of there being 13 guys, there are now only like 9 or whatever that are left. Like he's, you know, he's...
By the way, the principal in The Breakfast Club... And
mess with the bull, you get the horns. That like, guy. And dude, he's got the toilet paper hanging out the back of his...
Every movie that he's in, he plays so this good. Like this kind of guy.
He's a dick.
He's a dick and he's clueless.
Yeah.
Right, like literally he comes in so hot in that scene and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like as a viewer of the first
Die Hard, watching it, it's amazing how many people were in that film.
Totally.
And you go, man, they went on to have amazing careers. Like the news reporter was the mayor in Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh. And it's so relevant because that news reporter in the movie is a news reporter today. Like, he totally cares more about, like, going into the kid's house later on in the movie and, like, you know, like...
Tell me you got that.
Yeah. All that stuff. Totally. Like, and you would think, like, in news media, like, they would have been like, oh, we don't want to be like that anymore.
No.
It's almost like... It's totally...
Right. It's untouched.
Further.
Yeah.
Down that road.
Yeah. Totally.
But anyway, so, like, Bruce Willis is sending everybody off. He has no help. And, like, when I was watching the movie, because I've never seen it, I was like, this is an era where he can't text... for help.
No.
Right?
There's no cell phones.
There's no cell phones. Yeah, no. So I'm like, fuck, how is he... Like,
he has a walkie-talkie.
I'm always trying to figure... I don't know why I do this when I watch a movie. I do two things. I'm always trying to figure out where we're going next.
Okay.
And then I'm always on IMDb like, oh, wasn't he in... You know?
Are you really?
Do you do
that? See, I don't do that.
You don't, like, look, watch the movie and see the guy...
While I'm watching? No, I try and just watch.
I pause everything.
Right, see, I don't.
I pause everything.
So you ruin the experience is what you're saying.
To a degree. I pause the experience and I'm like, oh yeah, he was in Ghostbusters. And then we could pick back up.
I knew I've seen him before. Okay, go ahead.
He's an actor, probably. Right. You've seen him in a few things.
It's not really about this film.
Do you know what I do sometimes, though, with some of the actors? I'm like, I think he did a 90210. Because so many people...
Do you really?
So many guest actors did 90210.
I know.
Like, the dude... This is not Die Hard, but the dude... Do you remember in Christmas Vacation... Todd and Margot are the couple next door. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus and a guy. The guy did a 90210.
Did he really?
Yeah. But he's... but
I love that this is somehow coming back to 90210.
I was like, I knew his face from something.
Did you
And then
really?
I scrolled.
And then you went straight to IMDb?
I was like, oh yeah, he did.
There he is, yeah.
Yeah, he totally did that. Oh, he was the... there's an episode of 90210 where, like, they're shooting a porno.
What? Steve, oh, my God. This is a whole other episode.
I'm sorry to go down this road, but right. Steve is shooting a... I mean, I'm a 90210 super fan, so sometimes it comes up.
Sure, yeah.
But anyway, he's the porno director.
Okay.
In the... And
Steve
Brandon,
is.
No, this actor,
Jesus,
Todd.
I do not remember any of this.
Yeah. We got to add 90210 to the things that you've never seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, when we do 90, if we do, we're not doing 90210 because I would have to watch 300 episodes of that
like,
show.
One of our pivotal episodes of this will be like, I finally got you to watch
Mm-mm.
it. There's so many people that were launched, I feel like, from this movie.
From Die Hard.
Yeah.
It was a massive career.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yeah.
Is the, which I want to talk about because I love the sequence of Reginald Vell Johnson, his name is Sergeant Al, I think.
Right, yeah.
He's coming to just do like, he doesn't even, like, it's Christmas Eve. He doesn't want to fucking do this.
No. You know? He's got the Twinkies, he's got all the stuff.
Right. You know what I mean? He goes in.
He circles around, he's backing up, and then John starts shooting through the window.
He goes in and he talks to one of the bad guys, and the bad guy does such an incredible job of convincing him that he's like, ah, fuck it. Like, this is all good.
Totally.
The guy comes,
goes down and he's shooting through the fucking wind, shooting at the car and it's backing up and it backs off the side in the ramp and it's stuck in the thing.
I love it. So I love it. But you, like, he has such a, like, he is such a good heart on camera like the way he cares about what's going on in the building and talking, and he's so like intuitive to know that Bruce Willis's character is a cop.
He's a cop,
and he can he's the smarter cop, right? Because when the principal comes in, you know what I mean. You know, but when the breakfast with principal comes in. And he's all hot. Like, he has no clue what's going on. He spent no time at this location. Right. He's just doing...
Remember when he gets on the walkie with that? So the walkie-talkie was such a great story concept because it kept so much alive. Like you said, during a time when there were no cell phones, when there wasn't any of that, to have a walkie-talkie, something as simple as that, that could then connect everyone within the building. Dude. It connected him to Hans. It connected him to Al outside and the police. So he wasn't alone through the film. Even though he was alone in the rooms, he wasn't alone. He still had so much dialogue.
I couldn't figure out how they were going to do that. Like, how they were going to... Because I'm thinking, like, it's 2024. If this happened to someone, they'd be texting. They'd
totally.
Be selling, you know, the whole thing.
It'd be easy.
But nowadays, it's like... But then, it's like, how are they going to actually... How is he going to get anyone's attention? And I guess he... Which will also maybe be hard for young people to understand, like through the radio dial, he's able to get
you choose
to,
a number and,
like he gets.
So see, I am still very aware of walkie talkies and all that because we use them on sets.
Yeah, for sure.
All the ADs have them. Everybody's communicating.
Yeah, that's valid.
Nobody's texting, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with police. It's the same thing with. Truckers driving cross country.
But I feel like maybe in this generation, if you're a social media kid, you might be like, what's that thing that they're using? Like,
absolutely.
I've never seen that before,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, two-way radios don't.
Yeah, but anyway, and then of course they get the dispatch, and the woman at dispatch wants, like, thinks he's crazy, thinks this guy is crazy.
Sir, this line is held for emergencies only. What do you think? I'm ordering a fucking pizza?
Right, but all of that stuff, by the way, that he does,
like,
is so funny, and this guy feels like someone that you might know.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a cop friend of yours that you know and
totally.
Fucking shit.
Yeah.
He got caught up in this whole thing.
For sure.
And, like, he's saying all this shit. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, dude, I love this guy, you know? And well, obviously, the reason why we love this movie so much is, yes, the action sequences are great. And, yes, the cop is great. But it is Bruce Willis that kind of, like...
He's the glue. He's the reason you watch that movie. He's so, he's just so appealing to watch. Like, he's so good at what he was doing.
Yeah. Now, you said you worked with the woman that played his...
With Bonnie Bedelia, who played his wife in the film.
Yeah, she's also great, by the way.
I ended up doing, in the 90s, when Movie of the Weeks were a thing. Remember those? They were
for sure.
on network TV.
For sure.
And now it's just all Lifetime and Hallmark that has them, and they're majority Christmas movies.
I know.
Like, even during summer. It's like, oh,
Santa's
it's coming.
It's Christmas in July.
Santa's coming to town to
like,
water ski today.
Like, why?
So, I worked with Bonnie. Mm. She was fantastic. She was amazing. And it was so cool at that point because it was like, you were in Die Hard.
Yeah, but did you say things like that? Like,
her?
Yeah.
No. I said them in my head,
right?
Because I was in my 20s. Like, I wouldn't go, hey, I loved you in Die Hard. Like, there was,
But you're a big Die Hard
I was
Hard
so
fan
cool.
Too, so
I was like you know, I was a 90210 guy.
Yeah.
So right. I was like, I'm going to put myself on the same level as her. You know?
Yeah, no, you had to do that. Yeah, that makes sense. But
it was,
I'm
it was
sure
a power
the inner you was just like, holy shit, like, has so many questions.
Dude, the inner me squeals constantly.
Yeah.
When I'm meeting people.
Same. Yeah, all the time. Like, even hanging out here with you. Like,
right.
Yeah. Okay, so she's amazing in this movie.
She's so
And there
amazing.
Is, like, a love story thing, like, where she realizes,
it's a
like,
rekindling of their romance.
He's doing this. Like, he's the only reason why those 30 hostages, just in case
why
you
they survived.
Seen, yeah, like, that. There's
Spoiler
30,
alert.
There's 30
they
hostages,
make it.
You know. The
majority of them.
Yeah.
Well, there are a couple that go.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to bring up. This guy, Ellis, that's the character's name.
The cocaine guy?
The cocaine guy. Like, I also love that cocaine. Like, then I was like, well, the guy's doing a line of cocaine. Is that in a Christmas movie? Like, is that...
Right, totally.
Like,
Hans, Booby, I'm your white knight. That guy. Yeah, he was great.
And I'm like so annoyed by this guy because
so
I'm like,
good.
He's so good, but I'm like, oh, he's going to fuck up everything. He's going to say that the wife's in, like, I just think he's going to sell everything out.
Sure.
And but
fucking cocaine's a hell of a drug, man.
He was fucking
Rick
lit.
James said it.
Yeah. And he was lit, and then he was dead.
Like, yeah. Like, he didn't last very long. He went in, they were pouring him the Coke, remember? And he, like, he thought he was so cool on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, oh, right. He had, yeah. He's like, I've sold
John, beer. I need your help here, man. What are you doing? Yeah. You know, he's, yeah, like,
he's
making
doing
faces.
All of that stuff. And I'm sure you've stuff. Known a lot of those guys in Hollywood, by yeah. the way. Right? I'm sure you've met a few of those guys.
Yeah. I have.
And so it's kind of nice. Like, there is sort of something, like, what they were able to do with in the movie is, like you totally want that guy to get shot.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, even you don't know what he's doing, but he's fucking it all up, and he's ruining John McClane's thing.
They're gonna kill me if you don't help. Mm-hmm. And then he looks to see, like, yeah, when, it was a good touch, right?
Like, when he sells him out, he's like, I don't know him. I just met him at the party today. Like, I don't know what he's doing. Boom.
You know what I loved that I didn't notice for the first time, but I just noticed it again when I was watching. Mm. So that movie was really well directed.
Yes.
But I loved the fact that they had scenes with Alan after he had shot Ellis, and Ellis's body was still there in the chair, and you could see, like, the blood on the back of his head.
Oh, I missed that.
And they're shooting past, like, his bloody head and stuff to Alan still talking to John McClane. It was so great. It was, like, way to keep that alive and keep the tension of that, of, like, what I'm capable of doing. Like, I'm not the one to fuck with. It was so... Expertly put together.
The thing too, where I'm like, why is this such a great Christmas movie or a great movie? It's like, it's well written, it's well directed, and it's well acted.
It's really well directed.
You know, like the sequence, the action sequences, blowing things up, it all kind of, like, makes sense, and you want to see it. Like, you want to feel the relief of he did another thing. You know what I mean?
You got to think, too, that was during a time when, like, CG wasn't around.
Dude, this is all being done. Like, you know, it's like, it's a totally different time period. Yeah.
Remember the part when John puts the chair with the C4 down the elevator shaft and there's the explosion and it blows up the entire bottom floor. And the guy, and what's his name, the principal from
Breakfast Club.
Is like, you know, my guys are all down here and they're covered in glass. And John's like, glass? Who the fuck cares about glass?
I've got 100 people down here and they're covered with glass.
Glass? Who gives a shit about glass? Who the fuck is this?
I love that they kept comedic elements in it. Like, as serious as that movie was and as high as the stakes were, that they kept those really simple things. Just to show what a fucking dummy this character was,
and
of, like, you know,
and that
was
that
on
movies that made us. This went through a few rewrites, because, like,
understandably,
there was none of that initially in that movie. Yeah. There was no.
It was super serious,
and they fired the writer. The writer is in that series. If you watch the movies that made us, and then they hired another writer who got all of Bruce Willis's timing and whatnot, and, like, was I feel like he was, like, literally writing it while they were making the movie.
Right. It'd be funny, yeah. Oh my God, there's glass everywhere. We should totally, and he put it in.
And he put it in. Like, I mean, so it's like, it just goes to show you how movies are made sometimes.
Yeah.
The big scene for me is, like, when Bruce Willis and Hans, or they meet each other,
and so Alan was fucking great at playing, no, don't shoot me, don't.
Yeah.
You know, like, playing a normal guy.
I had no idea this was gonna happen, by the way. So for me,
and then the gun thing where Bruce gives him the gun,
and you
and
almost
all of a sudden
feel
he turns,
like,
back
fuck
into Hans,
and shit.
Yeah.
Like, how is he gonna get out of this situation? I kept thinking, like, how is John gonna get out of this situation?
Right.
And, like, I'm like, holy shit, he's with the bad. Like, this is the guy.
Right.
Like, what's gonna happen here? But it's so
no
good.
No bullets. Remember that? All that was so fucking great. It was the first time Hans had a visual of who John McClane was.
Yeah.
Which then tied into the picture and his wife and the whole, like, it was a catalyst in the film. A lot happened from that point forward.
Yeah.
But there was no way to accomplish that when you have this lone gunman hiding out in a building unless the mastermind behind all of it sees him face to face and is then able to put puzzle pieces together and make sense of it all.
Yeah, it's a big scene.
I love
it. It
was really well thought. That story was really well thought out.
That's the thing that
really,
like,
well fleshed out.
Where, for me, who's never seen it, but has known of a bunch of action movies, I'm always like, oh, it's just another action movie. But It's actually not.
It was really good. Which is why they made like 14 of them afterwards.
There's so much story and heart and whatnot, and like you get behind very quickly what he's trying to do and who he's trying to save and who he's trying to protect in terms of the ex-wife and like and the relationship that he's building with this cop via, you know, the walkie-talkie.
Right.
And there's just like it really starts to build into this thing, and then we start seeing things start blowing up and all that stuff. Now you've been in action movies.
I have.
And
yes.
You directed an action episode of 90210.
I did.
And you and you blew up a
Fucking oddly enough, like I remember I got the script and I was like, holy shit, I've got action.
But you blew up a bus or a car.
Yeah, no, it was a van.
Yeah.
It was so originally it was a plane. And then they realized, like, we don't have the budget for that, so it ended up being a van.
Right. But so you've directed that, been in that.
Yeah.
And you probably love this. What is it like to be a part of, like, making that?
It's stressful. So you've got to think, when you're doing these, like, big, especially, like, explosions, you're setting up cameras that don't have monitors necessarily. You're not really, like, behind a bank of monitors, and especially during that time, 90s when we were doing the show, when they did Die Hard. You don't have a bank of monitors where you're seeing what every single camera is doing. So you're kind of setting up and you're going, and you don't know where how the explosion is actually going to happen, how it's going to look, what part of the frame it's going to fill. So you're kind of setting cameras around with shots going, okay, I think that this is going to be a good shot. And you only get one chance usually to do it.
I was
going to
say, it's not like you have 10 vans to blow up or the top of a building.
We had one. So it was like,
you got to
do
get
a
it
countdown,
right.
3, 2, 1. They filled the whole thing with, you know, whatever. And they blow it. Mm. And then you're watching. But then you have these happy accidents. Like I remember on 90210, we had this little fire devil that came up out of nowhere that was like this little sort of tornado of fire that traveled across. And it was on like two different cameras. So I was like, oh my God, we got to keep that going then.
For
like,
sure.
So you have these happy accidents that happen.
Because you don't know what's going to happen when you explode something.
There are also times where they go and you go, I missed it. I didn't get it. Like, that wasn't.
What about from the acting perspective? Like, having to do all those, like, there's the whole thing of, like, Alan Rickman falling off the building and all that.
So I remember in that How Movies Were Made thing, that Netflix series, they talked about, they had him on a platform and it was all green screen underneath him. So they could have the building and all the stuff, what he was falling into. But they were supposed to do a countdown. It was like a 3, 2, 1.
Uh-huh.
And then the watch slips off his hand and then he falls. They started the countdown, but they dropped him before they got to 1. So his expression was real because he wasn't expecting to be falling at that time.
Yeah, it's super cool. And the slow-mo shot that they got is really awesome.
It's great.
And it's, look, like you said, it's not CGI. It's not any of the stuff that is today. So it's like
green
screen. You know, he's being dropped 40 feet from something. Into a blue whatever the fuck.
Yeah, no, it was an airbag.
Yeah, but so it's not like what they might do today. But it looks so cool. Alan Rickman is like totally selling it because he's legitimately
in it.
But have you shot anything like that where you were like pulling from the sky or anything like that, you know?
So I got to do some fun stuff on Terminator.
That's what I thought.
When we were doing that, like rappelling down like elevator shafts and stuff like that, which was super fun because that was like you had a guy in the rope and it was like, okay, this is how you did. And then we were actually rappelling, so that was fun. Mm-hmm. But that I've never done big stuff like that.
You would have to speak
to the Marvel kids.
No, it's crazy. Like, I mean, when you see what they were able to do in that era, exploding the roof and getting people off the roof and like
amazing.
All of this, it's like it's so well done and all of it makes sense. It's not like they don't just blow up something for the purpose of blowing it up. Like it actually leads to a really pivotal part of the story. Like you need to have the thing blown up. And
for
like
sure.
And so back to the beginning of this, like, is it a Christmas movie? But when you wrap up this movie, right, it's like there is heartwarming Christmas. Like, even the limo driver gets in on the action.
And there's
you know?
Fucking Christmas music that plays throughout.
Right. R&DMC song.
Half of the score is Christmas
All Christmas music. And it's all well-orchestrated Christmas music. And so, like, the ending of
he
it...
He even writes on the first guy that he kills, ho, 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 on his sweatshirt.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
I've got a machine gun. So it's all, like, Christmas is referenced throughout
This is totally a Christmas movie. It is an adult Christmas movie, for sure. It's not... Like, I would not have your young kid watch, like, on the list of Christmas movies. You wouldn't be like, okay,
right.
Home Alone.
We're going to watch Die Hard, right?
Snoopy's, or the Peanuts Christmas.
Right. The Conjuring, that happened during Christmas, didn't it?
And Die Hard.
Let's watch
like,
that.
Like, I probably wouldn't put that one on the list. No. But if you are drinking a Guinness, like we are here, or an eggnog, spiked eggnog.
Or a fucking Hobbit size.
It is an adult. Like an awesome adult Christmas story.
It's a holiday film.
Dude, he like winds up with the girl. Sorry.
You have the confetti coming down at the end, which seems like it's snowing.
It almost like feels like him and Sergeant Owls.
They have a love story also. Yeah. Yeah. They have a bromance.
It's almost more of the bromance is almost more important than the romance.
Oh, it totally is. You get to the end, and when they hug for the first time, it's like, you're like, oh, dude, you feel all warm and fuzzy.
I got teary eyed.
Did you?
When he hugged Reginald Bell Johnson more than the wife, I was like, I'm still not over this fucking changing the last name shit. You know what I mean? But when he hugs, because there's no history. It's just like, dude, you helped talk me off the ledge when I needed you.
Right, you were there for me.
We're tight. We're super tight.
You know what I mean? You were there for me.
And then that little like twist at the end where you think it's all over, and then
he comes out with the gun, and then Reginald shoots him, and that, yeah,
because there's that whole bit about like Reginald's character.
I killed the cop, or I killed the kid, and you know I'd never gotten over it.
So from the beginning of this, I say this is a Christmas movie. Question one: Would you recommend after rewatching it?
Yeah.
Would you say to someone like, I'm thinking about watching Die Hard? Would you
I would absolutely I loved Die Hard. I thought it was so well done. It was just masterfully created, super fun to watch, incredible performances, incredible stunts, great script. Everybody was just on their A game in that one. So I would personally, like 10 out of 10, recommend that to anybody. Like
if you're into
action films, I actually think
I would recommend that to anybody. I wouldn't recommend it to a little kid, but I would recommend it to an adult that's like, if you've never seen it, I would see it because it's
Check it
a
out.
Really good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Now, does it still hold up all these years later?
Oh, dude, for sure. I think it is more impressive now because now you know what is possible in film and you realize from watching that where we still were and what was possible and what it is they accomplished with that. It's like watching the first Star Wars, where you're like, "Oh my God, how did they?"
I've never seen Star Wars, so
okay, that's we'll get into that one.
Yeah, but I also
that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I mean,
that's almost the death of this. Just so you guys all know.
No, but I'm going to. I would recommend it. I would say that it still holds up. I'd say that younger people today watching it will be like confused, like, "What's a phone line? Why are they in a limo? Like, how? What's that thing they're talking to?" So there'll be some of those things.
Again,
that,
we're not fans of young people anyway, so it doesn't matter. We're not making this show for young.
Some
people.
Of those things where they're asking, "What is that? Or why did they do that?"
Right.
For sure.
Sure.
But like, it still holds.
You got to get over that.
You like, have to you get over it.
If you're a true like movie lover, you have to get over that, and you have to watch it for the time period it was made and what it represents.
Yeah.
And what it represented at that time. And it's, to me, the movie's genius.
All right, in movie act, 5 stars, what would you give Die Hard?
I'd give it a 5. I mean, it's up there at the top of...
That's a really big...
But it's up there at the top of my list for action films. T2 is one of them.
Okay.
Die Hard is one of them. Like, there are... It's... To me, Die Hard was a trailblazer of a movie as far as action films. Like, it really broadened my mind to what was possible in action films. There wasn't a lot of stuff before that holds the same weight in my mind.
It does sort of reinvent the action film, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I do love... Okay, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, only because just to be, you know...
I'll judge you for it, but okay.
Just because I feel like maybe it's a little bit dated. Okay. You know, there's some elements that are slightly dated. But but I will say, like...
You're one of those.
They took...
You're one of those that, like, would watch Pixar movies or, like, Charlie Brown movies and go, No, two-star. No, Charlie Brown shouldn't have slipped when he was trying to kick the football. That's ridiculous.
No, that's a 5 out of 5.
It wasn't that slippery outside. It's, that's no way. What was that, black ice that he was running on? Now he didn't see that Peppermint Patty was going to work, that Lucy was going to pull the football again?
No, that's a 5 out of 5 to me. But okay. So
Winnie the Pooh should not have loved honey that much.
Maybe. So many things in this where you're like, they took the tropes. Is that the word? Tropes?
Sure.
Of action films,
yeah,
and they spun them on its head. Okay. Like even the dude, the principal from The Breakfast Club,
yeah,
like they put a character in there like that to make him wrong about everything.
Dude, how about the two FBI guys that were in the helicopter? And he was, you know, and the one guy was like, okay, so we're gonna take out all the thing, and we'll probably lose like 25% of the hostages. And the other guy was like, I'm cool with that.
Well, everybody that dies in the movie, except for like the beginning, you actually kind of want to see everybody die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When that would be fun.
Shoot him in the head. Like, let's come on.
You're thinking to yourself, like, oh, I hope the helicopter explodes.
Right.
Like, because these guys are totally asshole. They deserve that. Yeah.
Totally.
But I loved it, and I would say for anybody that's like, oh, is it a Christmas movie? You got to get your shit together because this is a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie, I think.
It's totally a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And
it's an adult Christmas movie.
For sure.
But also... Who said that genre has to be just about kids?
It shouldn't be. No. I mean, because if you look at it, like, so many of the movies that are Christmas movies today, like the Hallmark Christmas movies, are geared towards probably a female audience, right? So this is a Christmas
movie. They're romance.
Adult,
action,
male audience. Like, what's wrong with that?
Right.
Totally. Why does that not, is that not allowed to?
Home Alone is a great, distinction.
It connects everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, but last question. What is your favorite all-time Christmas movie? Die Hard?
No, I mean, I would probably have to go more of a classic Christmas movie and do How the Grinch Stole Christmas or something like that, just because to me the ultimate Christmas movies are the ones that take me back to the feeling of being a kid with Christmas.
For me, it's Charlie Brown Christmas, because to me that has all the elements.
Dude, The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, I watched like 5 times when it was Halloween.
Yeah, I just can't get enough of that one because I feel like there's so much about like being upset during Christmas or depressed during, like Charlie Brown is, I mean, subtly, you know what I mean? Like in a way, and like finding happiness.
Don't think that I didn't buy a Charlie Brown Christmas tree when they were for sale with the Linus blanket that went under and the one like ball that kind of went on it that made the whole thing lean over.
Yeah. So to me, that's it. But massive like, for thing. I know audiences love Home Alone, The Christmas Vacation, Die Hard, it should be on there.
Yeah.
A Christmas Story, all those like really great ones. So I can't wait to like do next year and see like what another one of these.
I know.
All right, this has been great, man.
Dude, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
And welcome to everyone that watches this. We're gonna bring you a few of these a month. We're gonna jump in and we're gonna have some fun with some shows and some films. Reach out to us on social media. Or on YouTube and let us know what you think, or join in on the conversation, suggest some films, some TV shows, because we're gonna need them.
And we like bold, strong opinions. So if you feel like
challenge us, please.
About this,
especially challenge this guy. he gave Die Hard a 4.
I'm sorry, but if you feel like I'm an asshole for that, just say that. You know, like we want to know. Like,
you're an asshole for it. I think.
Thank you.
You said to say it.
No, so I did say it. But like, what do you think of this Christmas movie? Is it a Christmas movie? If you're like really against that, say it. We want to know everything. But thank you for watching.
Thanks for watching.
First.
Rewind.